Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. So excited that you joined me this week, and we have an amazing topic today. I want to start, of course, with my motivational quote, and today it's by Cheryl Richardson. And Cheryl says, "If you want to improve your life immediately, clean out a closet. Often it's what we hold onto that holds us back." So now this quote I thought was pretty insightful, because often we fiercely hold on to what we fiercely hold on to may be what's actually blocking us from the life that we're just all dreaming about. It's a blind spot, right? So I need to ask you, what are you holding on to and why? And how may it be holding you back? And I want to really think about that for a minute. Now, you notice, or you probably have noticed, when your home or office is really tidy, don't you feel so much more productive? Don't you think just a little bit more clearly? And don't you feel just a little calmer and maybe respond to issues or events that happen with more clarity and logic? This is such an important topic that we all have full control over. I just want you to think about that for a second. It's a choice that we get to make, and there are easy ways to remedy our clutter. So if we clear our clutter, both physically and mentally, what can we expect to happen in our lives? Well, today you're going to have a great show. My guest today is Katie Tracy, the simplicity expert and owner of Simple Spaces Professional Home Organizer. Katie's a member of the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals, also known as NAPO, and currently serves as the president of the Northern Jersey chapter. I'm thinking Monmouth of the Monmouth County Chamber. Her core mission is to help those who are feeling overwhelmed to simplify their lives. Katie truly loves seeing how better organizations can help clear not only physical space, but also bring mental clarity too. So please help me welcome Katie to the show. So Katie, thanks for being on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I, you know, we met at a networking event at the Stone Pony. That was a really cool venue. Yeah, it was a cool venue. And happened to sit next to each other, started chatting, and I'm all about organization. So, Katie, I think you and I was like, wait a minute, you got to be on the show. The other thing, Katie, I just want to share with you is I'm kind of excited about the topic today about clutter and organization, because I actually just sold my house. My husband and I, it took us a week, we sold. It was crazy amazing. So we're in the process of purging and packing and donating. And I have to be honest, and I'm curious as we discuss today, but it's a liberating process. I also hope that our conversation today, you might even be able to provide tips now that I'm in the throes of this life-changing event, right? That, and I'm sure other people are facing the same thing. So it was very timely that this is when we chose to do the show, right? Kind of cool.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So my first question, and I alluded to this in the quote, let's first look at what is, and if you can, just explain the difference between the different kinds of clutter that we face.
Sure. So most people think of clutter as the physical clutter that we all have. And this is the small stuff, from the papers that pile up on our kitchen counters to coats getting left on the back of chairs to toys being all over the place, those kinds of things as our physical clutter. And it even expands to the bigger physical clutter, such as the boxes in our basements or our attics, the stuffed garages that we can't put our cars in. So that's all the physical clutter that we're dealing with every day, and which is very common among American homes today. But we also have mental clutter, which kind of takes a back burner, I think, and we don't realize it as much. And our mental clutter is all the stuff that's bouncing around in our heads day to day. And again, it can be small, such as, where did I put my keys? What do I need at the grocery store? What's on tap for today on my schedule? To the bigger mental clutter that we have, the doubts, the fears, anxieties, things like that. And these two kinds of clutter are interrelated in ways that we probably don't even realize. And I often suggest that people use this example to think about how our physical environment affects us mentally. We are in the throes of winter right now. It's freezing cold. We're expecting another snowstorm. And you constantly hear people say that they're so tired and they feel dreary. It's overwhelming. And that's the effect that the winter is having on us. And then when we talk about the spring and we say spring's around the corner and people are going to be able to get outside and it's light out, they feel rejuvenated. They feel energetic. And that's also the physical environment affecting us mentally. So the two are very, very closely related.
And that makes perfect sense. I have to ask you, is your background or education in psychology?
I actually have a degree in sociology, which is interesting because there's so many social components to our physical spaces and how we feel in our homes, but not psychology specifically.
Well, that's amazing.
But a lot of that comes up, though.
And I think sociology is important. And it's just funny, again, right, we're moving, so we're looking at different houses, mm-hmm. and we're trying to downsize. And my kids are in college, so now, you know, it's a life stage thing. So anyway,
sure. Yeah.
we laugh because as we're looking at, you know, two-car garages and a must because we have four cars, right? It's four adults
right.
living in the home. And we pull our cars in the garage. Again, I'm pretty organized.
So,
yeah, I know, right? I can actually use my car for my garage for my cars. Nobody pulls their cars in the garage because they use it for storage.
Yeah.
And so my husband we're kind of amazed because, you know, my mom and dad pull their car in, my sister and brother, like we all pull our cars in the garage. So mm-hmm. when I see the majority not doing that, it kind of throws you. And this has been, an interesting eye-opening experience.
Yes. Yes. And I think on top of just that, we have these bigger homes that have two car garages that are full of stuff. Then we even have so much stuff that people are renting storage units on top of that. So the amount of things that we have as a society and a culture is really, it's almost baffling.
And the funny thing is now, and I'm not a pack rat, right? I purge,
right.
like we don't use it, throw it out. My husband tells me I'm not even sentimental. Like I'll be like, the kids don't need that trophy. And so, you know, as we're going, he's like, what are you, crazy? You can't get rid of that. You know? So I'm like, all right. So I'm not, one that holds on to things. Mm-hmm. And as we've been in the house 24 years, Katie, and as we're going through, I said to mm-hmm. my husband, oh my goodness, how did we accumulate so much crap that mm-hmm. we don't even use and really forget that you even have? So we keep yeah. buying stuff and then we don't even use it, right?
It's yeah.
And I don't think that's uncommon, right?
It's definitely not uncommon. And often when we're talking with clients about the benefits of getting organized, it's those things that we're bringing to light that they just haven't thought about, that being organized is going to save you time because you're not looking for things that you know you have, but you just can't find them in your house. You're not spending money buying duplicates of things because you know what you have and you know where they are. It creates so much less stress in relationships, you know, especially this time of year, you know, tax time. You know, how many couples are fighting because they can't find the tax papers that they need for their tax appointment? And when you're organized, it removes that stressor. So you're talking about very common things that families are experiencing, but there's people out there like myself who are here to help to make some of that stress go away for you.
Yeah. And the other funny thing, my office, right? I've had a business for 17 years and mm-hmm. I've always, again, we've been in my offices in the back of the house. And so I've always been in this office. And that was the first thing because we had to show the house and take pictures and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to my husband, I have to, you focus on this. I'll focus on my office. And then, you know, how we were going to attack, for staging. Well, mm-hmm. as I started cleaning my office and things that I've had from 17 years ago, it was, because you bury it, right? It just, oh, let me yeah. file that. Let me put that in the bookcase, whatever. Mm-hmm. And after I purged, the funny thing is I have a partner with a second business and we were creating this masterclass, which we've launched since. My creativity went up. My thoughts went up because my office, I walked in and I was like, oh, my office is so beautiful again. Seriously, right?
I had that physical
absolutely.
Space creates mental space for you as well.
Absolutely. So that was an interesting experience as well. What do you find, Katie, with your experience with your clients, what do you generally find comes first, the mental or the physical clutter?
So this is definitely an example of how these are cyclical. So when our physical spaces are cluttered, like you just gave the example of, it creates more mental clutter for us because we have to be on top of more things because we're looking for things. Our time is constrained. We're not being efficient. And then once our minds become cluttered, it spills back over into our physical lives as well. You're in hurry because your schedule is so tight, so you drop things more. You don't have time to make decisions about things, so they get put down instead of put away. So it's definitely cyclical. I find, though, that working with clients and doing, just as you said, clearing out the physical space, just picking one and starting there, helps bring the mental clarity that they start to need too. So that clearing that physical space, as we just said, starts to clear the mental space as well. So even though the clutter is cyclical, the clarity can become cyclical as well.
It's so connected, right? It's fascinating.
Definitely.
What do you find, again, dealing with your clients, what is the most common emotion that clients express when they talk about their clutter or when you start to go through the process with them?
Definitely they feel overwhelmed and defeat. And I would say 90% of the calls that I get from new clients, prospects, they say things like, I don't know where to start. I clear it out and it just gets messy again. I feel so frustrated. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to those feelings when it comes to their homes.
Do they share, is there emotional responses or emotional triggers for them, do you find, or is it just disorganization?
I feel that the disorganization causes the mental emotional triggers that they're expressing to me. They're expressing stress, frustration, embarrassment, all related to the state of their home or the state of their clutter. It's definitely an emotional experience. And usually that's what's triggering the phone call to me, that they're just feeling so constrained by their stuff that they don't know where to start. They don't know what to do. So they're reaching out for help.
How do you address the overwhelm? Because, you know, when you come in, right, they're spiraling. Mm-hmm. Clearly they're spiraling, that they're able to see clearly to reach out to you, which is the good news. But now they're spiraling. So what's the first thing you do to kind of say, okay, breathe? Like, how do you approach that?
Right. So we take a three-step process to this. The first is that we try to change the frame that they're looking at their clutter. So oftentimes the first thought is, I just want a clean slate. I just want to start fresh in this space. And I remind clients that the clutter did not happen overnight. Generally, it's something that's built up over time. Mm. It's become compounded. So we need to acknowledge that it's going to take some time to get them to that place of near perfection, never perfection, that they're looking for in their homes. So changing that and explaining that becoming organized is a process. It's not just a project. So once we do that, then we have to acknowledge what's causing that feeling overwhelm and what's causing the clutter in their homes. Because often the stuff and the clutter, those are just symptoms of what's going on. The root cause is usually something underneath, whether it's the schedules that are too big, the systems that aren't in place to keep the home organized, other stressors that might be happening in their lives. They might be in the midst of a life transition, the birth of a child, a move like you're going through. It could be a new job. Anything like that can be the root cause of what's going on with the disorganization. So acknowledging that and taking steps to incorporate that into the organization is very, very helpful. And the last is I ask every client for a commitment. This is not something that I can do for you. It's something that you have to be committed to taking an active part in, both during the process of us getting you organized as well as after, because you're going to have to take steps to maintain it. You're going to have to take steps to acknowledge when reorganization might be needed. And I need to know that you're on board for that for the long term.
Yeah, commitment. That's a tough one too, right? We want somebody to come in and do it for us, right? The magic pill, the quick fix.
Right, right. And sometimes we can come in and make a huge difference in the beginning, but the client is still very involved in that process to see why we're making the choices that we're making, to be very involved in what we're keeping, what's going, what the goal is for the space, seeing who's going to be involved in maintaining that space. So that commitment is huge on behalf of the client, that we need their help to make sure that the space works efficiently and effectively for them in the long term. Because if we do a quick fix and they're not committed, it's going to end up the same exact way it was just a little while down the road.
Yeah, because if you tell them, well, you really should put your clothes here, your keys here, because it makes the most sense. But that person would never put their keys in that place. You would have set them up for failure. So they really do have to be committed and communicate with you so that they tell you how they live, right?
Yes,
so that
exactly.
It works. Yeah,
exactly. Because a lot of the systems that we want to help put in place, we want to build around the habits that they already have so that they're making slight tweaks to their routines as opposed to trying to start fresh, because that's a recipe for failure. If I tell you, you have to change everything you're doing, it's never going to work. But if I say, this is how you're living, let's try adding this one step, that's much more attainable and much more maintainable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Little adds up to big, right?
Exactly.
It's an old saying, but it's so valid. I think it's so many aspects of our life, little changes. And, you know, 6 months later, you look back and you go, wow, I can't believe all the changes I made, right? Because they were little baby steps.
Exactly.
Let's take a really quick break. And then when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the emotional triggers, just so people could start to peel back their own onion, so to speak. And, you know, I asked that question in the introduction, you know, why or what's holding you back? Really think about that. And as we go through this discussion today, I hope we hit something that they go, oh, let me stop and think about what Katie just said, because maybe that is the trigger for me. So I think we all have some kind of emotional underlying thing which can cause us to have the overwhelm and the breakdown, right?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that.
A speaker has little value to an audience unless you, the listener, is motivated and empowered to change. Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates is a renowned speaker and is an architect of change. Consultations, training, seminars, and speaking engagements are the venues where she affects change. Whether your responsibilities include customer service, sales, marketing, training, executive management, or ownership, and you are seeking change in your organization, then you need to hire Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates. Connie doesn't just fill your ears with rhetoric. She speaks to the heart and success of your business. So next time you need to hire a speaker, don't hire someone that just talks. Hire an architect of change, Connie Whitman. Just ask for Connie by calling 732-888-1420. That's 732-888-1420. Or email connie@whitmanassociates.com.
We're back. We're speaking with Katie Tracy, and she is the simplicity expert, and her business is Simple Spaces Professional Home Organizer. And really, it's not even, you really help people beyond their space, Katie. You're helping them with the mental clutter to find that root cause of what the physical clutter is. So I think that's kind of a cool, I don't think people think of that, right?
Often not. Yeah. They just, because like I said, they see the symptom of what's going on in their mind, because it's much more obvious when we see the clutter and that kind of stuff, but it's all related and we have to address both.
Yeah, it's interesting. The other thing, again, you know, we're moving, so we are going to look at these houses, and when we leave some of them, I say to my husband, they've staged this house for people to come and look. Oh my goodness. And so I said, if they decluttered a little bit, holy smokes. It's mind-blowing. But the thing is, I don't think that people realize it. You don't realize what you're living. The blind spot. It's like I said at the beginning, right? We all have these blind spots.
Yes. So actually, we call that inattentional blindness. And that's when the clutter has become so part of our routine that we don't even see it anymore. And often it takes a third person to say, hey, why is that pile of laundry on the couch? Or what do you do with this mail that's on the counter? Until someone else brings light to that, oftentimes we do have the blinders on and we don't see it.
It's amazing. We're human. That's right. That's how the brain works. That's how the brain works. So let's talk about some of the other emotions. Like, do you run into like the sentimentality and decision? Like, talk to me about that.
Yeah. So I would say the big one is indecision. So often indecision comes out when I hear clients say things like, I don't have time, my house is too small, or I don't know what to get rid of. So this is an example of all the choices that we have to make when it comes to whether or not we're going to be organized. And we've all heard that we all have the same amount of time. We just have to make the time, right? So indecision is really interesting when it comes to organizing, because the common definition of clutter is delayed decisions. We don't know what to do with something, so instead of deciding where it should go, we put it down, we put it aside, we box it up, and then that becomes the clutter that we're experiencing in our lives.
So making, all right, so let's say that as I'm going through something and I think, oh, what if I might need this? This is such a good tool. This is such a good gadget in my kitchen, but I've never used it, right? But what if I need it? So what? How do you respond to something like that?
Okay, there's a great rule. It's called the 20/20 rule, and I explain this to my clients all the time. If you can replace something for less than $20 in less than 20 minutes, then you really need to think about what value it has to hold on to it. Because if you can replace it that quickly and that inexpensively for something that you might use one day, the balance of the effort to replace it versus the space it's costing you in your home is probably more in favor of letting it go.
Love that. I love that.
It's so easy, right?
It's so darn easy. And I'll just, I'll share with you, I'm contemplating because I do Christmas Eve. So I have the sternos, you know, the squares.
Right. Yeah.
And we're moving from a house into a townhouse. So there is going to be very little storage. So for my decorations and my tables for the holidays and the sternos, right? We have to put in a storage shed because we just don't have the space. And it's cheaper, for us to do that than to, you know, go buy new tables and chairs every year because I have 40 people, right? So we'll have a storage unit for those specific things. So as I was looking at the tins that are old now in the stern, I'm thinking, well, the racks are good, right? I'm not going to spend more money on that because I use it every year. Should I throw these tins out because they're really like a buck each? Isn't it just as I need them, go and buy them, and then I don't have to worry about the storage? So I'm like, yeah, but I have them. So that is one of the things I've been going back and forth at. Now you've just made my decision. It's $20 or less to replace. I'm not going to need them till December. Gone.
Right. And also, you're not going to pay someone to move them and then have to remember where they are and unpack them. It will make your life easier. The stress that you will save is worth the $20 of the sternos that you will replace.
I love that. I love that. Okay, I'm downsizing, right? I know even people older than me have lived in houses for 50 or 60 years.
Yeah.
So there's got to be a lot of sentimentality, or somebody gave you something and now they've passed on. So you have that. How do you help with, because that's really emotional, right?
Right. So you're talking about like the memorabilia and those kinds of things that we run into. So yes, and I hear this a lot, especially in phrases like, "This was my mother's." That's a very popular one. Or, "This was a gift from my friend and I feel bad getting rid of it." So they kind of fall under two different categories. When it comes to the gifts, I say that gifts are given to you for you to enjoy. And if you don't enjoy them, I am personally giving you permission to let them go. Mm. And a lot of times that's what people need. They need to know that it's okay to let a gift go, because the sentiment is in the thought that was behind the gift, not necessarily in the gift itself. So if you're not using a gift that came to you and you don't love it, it doesn't deserve space in your home. And the person who gave it to you does not want you to feel burdened by the gift. And oftentimes if you were able to go back and ask the person, "Would you want me to keep this, even though it's causing me such stress over where to keep it or that I don't use it?" How often do you think the person would say, "Yes, I still want you to keep it"? It doesn't make sense.
Well, the other thing too is, just because you don't love it or it doesn't fit your with your decor, you have no use for whatever the item is. If you donate it, or, you know, we have locally, it's called buy, sell, swap in my location. Mm-hmm. So I had a Nordic ski machine. It's not going to fit in the new space. So I put it up, and within minutes, for $150, right? It was just about brand new. You know, I spent probably $1,500 for it, and a woman immediately responded, "Can I come look at it?" Well, when she came, she told me her story. She said she had ordered something from Nordic, was spending $2,000. The item came, it was damaged. So she said, no, take it back. And they said, "Well, do you want to reorder it?" And then she started thinking, oh my goodness, for $2,000 and it came broken. Like, how good of quality is this? I got to rethink it. She goes, no, cancel the order. That within, she canceled it that that morning, that afternoon, she sees my Nordic track.
There you go.
So isn't that funny? And she calls me and she says, this is weird, but can I come? I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I made her try it. You know, I brought it upstairs, made her try it. She says, I can't thank you. This is $150, so well spent. Right. And I'm trying to lose weight and get in shape. And we hit it off. We exchanged business cards and we're going to keep in touch. So like, see? Wow. My husband looked at me because he kept saying, just give it away. Why are you wasting time? You know, people come to the house. And he thought it was an inconvenience. And I said, no, because somebody might really need this. And right. I'm, you know, why not? Right. I go, what does it harm to put it on the website? Within exactly. it, within an hour that night, she came, she bought it. She was so thrilled. And I have a new friend. It was yeah. that. It made me feel so good, Katie, I have to tell you, that I thought, oh, that's so great. I can't use it. And I loved it. And now somebody else is going to get use out of it, you know, and it's going to help her lose weight and feel healthy and all those things. Because it so feels good to give things away.
Yeah. And we're so fortunate to have these resources available to us that it's so much easier now to find places that need the things that we want to donate. So whether it's connecting with local charities that will pick up at your home, Goodwill, which is always a great one. You'd be surprised how many connections you can make with people that, you know, just, you know, low income daycare centers that really could use those coloring books and things that people want to get rid of. So we're really fortunate that we have the resources to be able to spread that wealth around.
It's funny when my kids, you know, transition when they were little from different stages and, you know, they would outgrow toys that were still in great shape, right? Mm-hmm. So we had a teacher that my son had an IEP in school, and then he mm-hmm. had this one in class teacher. Well, she ended up getting pregnant, so she decided that she would just watch, you know, babysit for people yeah. in her home. And so finding that out, and I was giving all of these toys away, so I just reached out to her and I said, listen, I have these toys. What are the age groups of the kids? I brought boxes and boxes of stuff. She says, you have no, like a toy chest and things for her to organize. And she says, you have no idea how amazing all of this stuff is. And I was going to just donate it. But again, here, I gave it to her. I didn't ask for any money, of course. Right. But it was, I felt so good to think, oh, she's starting a new business. She's pregnant. She's having a baby. And this right. is going to help her. And it'll save her money to going out and buy things. She was so appreciative. She did so much for my son. So this whole paying it forward for each other is really yes. It's a great feeling, you know?
I love it. I love it. And I think it makes everyone win from the whole situation of downsizing, decluttering, purging, that the person who's doing it gets more space. People can get goods that they need that can be really helpful to them. It's just really wonderful.
It really is. There's no downside. There's really no downside.
I agree.
So now my next big question, we have a couple of minutes left. Yeah. Why, or the folks listening, why should some of them hire a professional organizer as opposed to having maybe a friend come in and, or a cleaning person maybe come mm-hmm. in? What, share when you should really hire an organizer.
Okay, so the advantage to hiring an organizer is that we are professionals and you get professional service when you hire one. I strongly recommend going to your local NAPO chapter, National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals. We're a very specific group, even with our name. And we bring the expertise, the education, the experience. We're following a code of ethics. We all have confidentiality agreements. So, you know, you don't have to worry about the pictures of your house showing up on random websites or somebody whispering about what they saw in your home. NAPO professionals value that privacy and confidentiality. We also keep ourselves very well educated on the latest, not only organizing tools, such as what the latest products that are on the market, but also in terms of time management and efficiency. We're constantly taking classes for skills that we can pass on to our clients. And that's very, very valuable. And most importantly, I think, is that we can be objective. You're hiring us to give you honest opinions about things and to walk you through the process as a professional, which a friend might be very good at being organized, but they're a little more invested in, you know, your relationship and things like that, whereas a professional might be more open with you to say, okay, let's really talk about why you're keeping this, or what's the likelihood that you're going to use this in the future. So we bring the right questions and in an objective way, which can be really helpful and motivating to people outside of the friend relationship. Or and your cleaning person might be really great at organizing, but cleaning and organizing are very different. Cleaning is having your surfaces neat and tidy. Being organized means being able to find what you need when you need it.
Yeah. So when you pull out your drawer, everything doesn't pop out.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's funny because I think that you bring clarity to the emotion as well as to the actual objects, because I like you said, it was interesting when you said before that we live amongst our own clutter that you don't even see it. So yeah. It's like somebody saying, well, do you have whatever it is, you know, a wooden spoon? And mm-hmm. you go, yeah, I think it's here and it's there, but you don't even see it anymore because mm-hmm. it's just part of your vision every day that we forget it's even there, right? It's
right.
not even in our true line of sight, which is kind of weird. But again, we get used to our stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, for an objective way to look at your space, I'm glad you brought this up again. I often recommend that people take pictures of their space and then look at the pictures, because that's going to show you that other perspective when you can look at the picture and say, oh, I didn't realize that, you know, this is out of place, or that I still had these books on the shelves, or there were that many there. It really gives you another perspective that can be enlightening.
And that's interesting, too, because as I was cleaning my office, I have a lot of guests on who write books.
Mm-hmm.
And I always
mm-hmm.
read the book before the guest comes on. It's just like my thing, right? It just
right.
I feel it makes for a better interview. So I had all of these books, and some of them, I mean, I've read them. Some I keep for a resource because they're useful mm-hmm. from a leadership or coaching perspective. But most are stories or whatever that mm-hmm. I, you know, why not give them to the Goodwill for mm-hmm. someone else that's looking for a book but doesn't necessarily have the money to spend, you know, go mm-hmm. to Barnes & Noble or online or Amazon.
Sure.
It's a book for them to read that I found insightful or whatever. So I was shocked at how many books I had accumulated that I won't read again because I read them mm-hmm. and that I needed to pass on. Again, they just became part of my space. I was shocked by that, Katie.
Yeah.
It was a little bit like, wow, how did I do that? Why did I do that? So it's interesting.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
My last question, and we're out of time, but I do have one more question. Can you give one tip for somebody who's feeling, other than hiring a professional, but mm-hmm. someone who's feeling like, I really do need to get control of my stuff, right? My clutter.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the one tip that you would give them for them to start to see the clarity or reason, right, within their life?
To pick one place. It doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter how big or how small. Just pick one place and make one decision. Just start with one. And that's maybe the one thing on your nightstand that you're not using. Make the decision that it doesn't belong there. Maybe it belongs somewhere else in your home. Maybe it's ready to be donated. Just start somewhere, because even if you make one decision today and one decision tomorrow and one decision the next day, in a few months, in a year, there'll be hundreds of decisions, and that those little steps, like you said, they add up to big results. So just start. It doesn't matter where, just make one decision today.
Right. You don't have to look at your whole house and say every
no.
closet in this house and the garage and the basement and the crawl space
right.
and the attic needs to be done today. It's not possible.
Right. Right. So I would, you know, and I would often say pick the place that's bothering you the most. So it's a lot of people, it's the kitchen or the entryway, because there's such busy areas in our home, and just make one choice about one thing in those spaces. And trust me, you'll get momentum and you're going to start doing more than one thing a day because it feels so good.
Yes, that's amazing. What a great, again, small, it doesn't have to be a huge, what do you call it, commitment immediately.
Yeah.
Just decide on one thing a day.
Thing.
But think about that. At the end of 30 days, that's 30 little
30.
Decisions. Amazing.
Yeah, it
amazing.
Adds up. It definitely
yeah.
does.
What great recommendation.
Thank
so
you.
If you would like more Katie, I highly recommend you go to her website, which is www.simple and then a hyphen spaces with plural .com. So SIMPLE hyphen SPACES.com
yeah.
or email Katie directly so that if you have a quick question, she certainly can respond.
Absolutely.
And that's Katie, KATIE at simple hyphen spaces.com. And everybody, and Katie, I'll put that information on the Web Talk Radio Enlightenment of Change website. So a lot of people listen while commuting, Katie. So when they get back to their office or home, they could literally click and find you without having to pull over and write it down. We don't want any accidents happening. That would be bad. If you need me or need to reach out to me for information, please reach out to me directly at my email, which is connie@whitmanassoc.com. I do respond personally. Also, my partner and I, we still offer our free communication style assessment. And to get that, go to my second business, which is wisdomdecoded.com. Right on that landing page or the homepage is the link for your free communication style assessment, CSA. So check it out. Find a little bit about how and why you communicate the way you do, and maybe find a blind spot or two there. Never know what you'll learn, right? Katie, thank you again for just being such a clear and concise and fabulous. I was not surprised by that, by the way. So thank you for being on and just for some good insight. I think the mental versus our physical, and then that make one decision a day. What a beautiful recommendation and great way to end the show. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thanks, Connie.
My pleasure. Thank you all for joining me. I hope you'll join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves so we all embrace change one step at a time, like Katie taught us. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thanks so much, and I hope you all have a just a wonderful, inspired, and a clutter-free week. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.